All right, so by this time in this episode, I'm pretty sure you get it. How we eat says a lot about us, or at least how we say we eat says a lot about us. But Rachel Herz is here to, well, kind of mess with that idea a little bit, because she's a psychologist and a neuroscientist, and she's written a book called Why You Eat What You Eat. It's a fascinating read about the psychology of our food choices, and a lot of what she's found is probably not what most people would expect. So Dr. Herz, can you tell us about the study about people who brought their own bags while shopping at the grocery store?
So people who bring their own shopping bags to the grocery store, when they do it out of their own free will, so it's different if you have to shop in places where they penalize you for not bringing your own bags. But if you're still somewhere in the country where you're doing something virtuous by bringing your own bag and being conscientious about the environment, then two things tend to happen. One is that you buy more organic produce and products, which isn't all that surprising, considering that if you're being environmentally conscientious, you're probably also, you know, concerned with eating organic food. The part that's surprising, however, is that people who bring their own bags often tend to put more treats into their cart for themselves than people who don't. And this is because we have this incredible balancing act within ourselves of matching our virtues with our vices. And so bringing that reusable bag, which is good for Mother Nature, makes you feel like you deserve a little pat on the back. And in a grocery store, that comes in the form of something tasty that you'd like to eat. Now, this does happen only when people are shopping for themselves. So if you're like shopping for the family, for the week and so forth, you're less inclined to put extra treats in your cart. But if you're a singleton shopping with your reusable bag, you do end up buying yourself more goodies. Another one that had to do with grocery shopping was a study that had radio frequency tags on the grocery carts themselves and found that after people had shopped in the produce section and bought the grapefruit and the kale into their basket, the next area of the store they went to was either the alcohol or the ice cream departments. So again, balancing good with bad.
Really? So just like people just naturally like, hey, I bought kale. Now I'm going to go get some booze. Like exactly. That's the next thing you shop for?
Well, you know, I think obviously this is on a semi-unconscious level, I think, for most people. But I know people who sort of set themselves up with little goals. Like if I stay at my desk working on this grant or whatever it is I'm working on for another hour, I'll let myself have a cookie. Or maybe I'll say, you know, if I go to the gym today, then I'm going to be like drinking beer tonight. You know, whatever the case is. And the problem is often these things in caloric terms, in that sense of the balance, don't even themselves out. And I think people really have a misconception when it comes to exercise, where definitely we burn more calories exercising than sitting still, but the amount of calories we're burning for various activities is not as much as we think, often while we're making up for it with a handful of extra cookies or a muffin.
Yeah. But okay, you have another story in the book that I'm fascinated by. And it's an anecdote, so this wasn't a study, I don't think, but you mentioned a person who said to you that when she leaves a Whole Foods and sees a Salvation Army volunteer, you know, asking for donations, she feels annoyed by that person. But when she leaves a Walmart and sees that person, she's happy to give to them. Tell me about how that sort of matches in your virtue and vice balancing thing.
Yeah, so that's an anecdote which explains other research, in fact, which has found that when people shop in environments which are highly promoting of organic products and where a lot of labeling has sort of this imbued moral superiority, like purity tea and, you know, all these other brandings which actually make people feel that they're morally superior, that after they have done the morally superior thing of purchasing said products, that they then are in fact less kind to other people, they're less generous, they're more likely to engage in immoral acts like being deceitful, lying, stealing, not, you know, robbing a bank or anything like that. But one study, for instance, looked being a jerk, but also even more immoral than that. So one study, for instance, looked at people who were shopping in virtual marketplaces, and one was a conventional virtual store and the other was a organic virtual store, and that after people who had been online shopping in the organic virtual store later played an online game where there was opportunity potentially for stealing or lying to your opponent, they were much more likely to engage in that kind of deceitful behavior than the people who'd been shopping in the conventional store, where they were matched products. It would be like Pringles versus, you know, organic something or other potato chips. So the point is that this language actually makes us feel morally superior. And when we think we are morally superior, we tend to behave badly. So this is based on other research in morality, which has shown things like if you give somebody an antiseptic wipe after they've reported, you know, something that they did in their past, like, you know, admit to a time that they were lying on something, and then you give them an antiseptic wipe, they're much more likely to then do something else immoral than if they told their little past transgression and didn't get to sort of clean their hands in the Lady Macbeth way.
Oh my goodness. That's so wild. Like that metaphor really actually like means something to us psychologically, and then we're like, oh, we're actually clean now and we're going to go do something gnarly again.
Exactly. I mean, it is pretty fascinating that these sort of simple acts, it's sort of this idea behind it is what's called embodied cognition. So we do something physical and it actually affects our state of mind. So we do something like cleaning our hands and we feel morally cleansed and therefore capable of engaging in transgressions again because we've cleared the slate. In fact, we may be even starting at a slightly higher point than having nothing in the past. And similarly, when we're grocery shopping and we purchase things which sort of describe that we are morally superior by the branding and by the products themselves, we often behave in these sort of negative ways. And other research on the same topic found that people just seeing labels like USDA organic on products were more likely than to be harsher in their evaluations of other people and moral transgressions and so forth. So it makes us more judgmental of others as well. So in the case of the anecdote of the grocery shopping, you know, after being in an environment where there's all this moral purity being expounded upon in your groceries, then people are less inclined to be generous as opposed to in an environment where moral purity isn't as sanctified and blared from every speaker.
Wow, this is fascinating. Thank you so much for coming in today, Dr. Herz.
Thank you, Francis. It was great to be on.
Rachel Herz teaches at Brown University and Boston College and is the author of Why You Eat, What You Eat.